But last time we got together, we were talking about without working faith, there is no true value in your faith. If your faith isn't working, then you just got words. You listen, most Christians, again, I always give you extra when we go over things. Most Christians really don't possess true faith. They possess the ability to repeat what the preacher said. They have the ability to recall photographic memory or whatever and memorization of scripture, but they don't live it. There's a way, way, way big difference between you reading a book and hearing a preacher, getting a CD and quoting everything the man has said or woman and not living it out. Is that right? So I got to have working faith if I'm going to have really valuable faith, Where's the value of my faith? The value of my faith is exerted or it's revealed or it's exchanged on earth. In other words, if I don't work my faith, then there's no value on the earth for my faith. Again, I'm just hot air. If I'm standing up here teaching you and I don't live by these principles, I'm a hypocrite. And God will judge me for that, and God will judge you for that as well. So let's get our faith working, amen? And the only way to do it is to work your faith. And I love doing this. I love going extra, if that's okay with you. I love going back over stuff because there's new ground always when you plow. Ain't that right, farmer? There's always new ground. You find something. And when you work your faith, when we begin to work our faith, God begins to develop something in us that was never there before. In other words, there's a new dimension that we can walk in that we never knew we could walk in. We never could comprehend that. But you don't know that unless you begin to work that faith out. And what we need to do as believers is we need to learn how to expand our faith. How do you expand your faith? Well, you got to practice it. Old pastor used to say this. He says, you're believing for a 7-tier cake, but you haven't even believed for a donut yet. So believe for a donut. Speaking of Dunkin' Donuts, you got your card, so you got your faith going. You believe for that donut. Oh, that's good. Okay, so now let's go to 6 donuts. Come on, somebody. 12 is better than 6, so let's go for 12 and expand your faith. Do that with God. Practice your faith. Expand your faith. Just don't be reactionary faith. Watch this. I'm teaching you something very powerful. Don't be reactionary. Oh, the bill. Oh, my gosh. Faith. God, I need faith. Right? Say, I'm believing God for that car. I'm believing God for this thing. I'm believing God ahead in advance. I'm believing for him. I'm going to have this thing. Right? You see how that works? Now you extend your faith. The Spanish, you know, is poquito, poquito, just a little by little, but that's okay. And I think what we've did a disservice in the body of Christ is we're trying to go for the Cadillac. We're trying to go for the 7-tier cake when, you know, I would like to have a pair of Nikes or a pair of Puma or whatever, you know, instead of Gachis from Walmart. All right. So you build your faith or whatever it may be. It doesn't have to be materials. So faith is more than speaking God's word. It's actively obeying God's word. There you go. It's actively obeying God's word. So we went to boot camp, James chapter 2. I'm not going to go over the totality of it, but verse 17, faith without works is like a body without breath. It's dead. It's dead. Now, again, that's part of my notes. Again, that's most Christians today. They are one by name only. They're just a Christian by name. You know, you're born an American if you're born to American parents, but you're not born a Christian to Christian parents. But the American concept of Christianity is I was born in a Christian family, therefore I'm a Christian. No, you have to make that commitment. Your nationality is what your family is. You can't get away from that unless you get deported or you leave or whatever. You give up your passport, give up your nationality. But the answer to Christianity is found in personal faith. It's personal evidence that, look, I believe, and therefore my faith is activated, and I become a believer or a Christian, Christ in us. Okay? So we know that's a big problem. And then James talks about faith being alone. So faith without works is dead. Again, he's explaining it to us again. I use the illustration, it's like a fire burning without fuel. You gotta have the fuel. You gotta have that fuel in order to have a fire. Verse 18, remember it says this, by my business. You remember, go throw that up real quick, Joshua, if you don't mind, as he's trying to get that together. I will, the James chapter 2 verse 18. Yeah, verse 18. And I'll give you the definition of that word. It talks about doing the business, doing the works. I will show you my faith how? By my works. So I caught him off guard on that. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works and I will show you thy faith by my works. Remember, this here works is talking about in the Greek, it means employment. Put your faith to work. Give it a job. Give it a job. I'm gonna just testify for my sake, for your sake, but it's not for me for any other reason. But Jennifer could testify as well, and you have your own testimonies. But in Bible college, they taught us how to prophesy. They taught us how to look at something we don't have and declare and decree that we do have it. Then we push in faith towards it, and you work towards it. I've done this my entire life in ministry. Go to a closet, speak to that closet, and tell that closet to fill up with suits, fill up with things I don't have. Over a period of time, effort, work, and blessings, it's full. Buildings, things, assets. There's more things I've got to push for that are beyond this imagination and realm. I haven't reached it yet. The things you're seeing today is because we've been speaking it for years. It didn't just happen. We've been declaring and decreeing and speaking it. How does that work? Well, it works by faith. And now we're together and we're speaking things by faith. You sitting here today is a product of faith. Somebody prayed you in here. Somebody spoke that you'd be sitting in this chair.
No, I got up here and came here myself, man.
No, God led you. But somebody had to pray prior to you being here. Right? Same thing with me in salvation. And I remember when I first got saved, a lot of people got shocked. How many of y'all have the same testimony where a lot of people got shocked when you got saved? And I come to find out, they're like, man, I've been praying for you. I'm like, what? Really? I didn't know that. I said, yeah, you're going to go to hell, man. So we were praying for you. Thank God for that, right? So we get together and we do what? We employ our faith. So together, collectively, when we begin to speak projects and things we want to do, let's put our faith together. Let's work this thing. Oh, we already talked about that, didn't we? Well, I'm giving it to you again. Because it felt good, right? Make it work. Make your faith work. Then we talked about demon faith. Remember that? Well, that's pretty shocking, wasn't it? Demon faith or the faith of demons? We can't be that way. We have to have more faith than they do. And how do you have more faith than a demon? You act on it. You act on it. You act on your faith in Jesus' name. All right. And then went into verse 21, 23, all the way down, where we spoke about Rahab. We spoke about Abraham's faith, making him justified. He became a friend of God. Remember, he was justified before he ever brought Isaac to the altar because he, by faith, already knew God was going to do it. That's an amazing thing. See, faith isn't always a present thing. And an instant thing, faith sometimes is futuristic. You want to write that down. Sometimes faith is futuristic. God will put a seed of hope inside of you or a vision inside of you or a dream inside of you, and then he'll tell you to speak towards it, and then you have to work towards it. Sometimes he brings it right away, but sometimes you have to work towards it or walk towards it. That's the part where we're not going to get into because of time. You have to get into patience. Patience and faith go together. That's the anchor. Patience is the anchor of faith. Hope is the fuel of faith. Because I have patience, it keeps me anchored. I have hope, it makes me press towards. I have expectation. I know God's going to do it. Not hope like the world says. I hope so. Well, maybe. I don't know. Christianity, biblical hope is I expect it. I expect it. Just like a woman expects a child, that's exactly how faith is. And so that was it. No faith, no life, no works, no faith, just dormant, dead faith, and we're not going to have that. All right. So let's go to part 40. Thank you for letting me go over that again. I could have done a lot more on that, but I could see my time. I need to move on. This is part 40, and this is probably going to be the last I'm going to do on faith. I have some things in my heart that I think the Lord is moving me towards. I'll know more this weekend, and we'll start a new topic, if that's okay with you, but I'm going to follow his leading. So this is going to be putting it all together. We learned a lot so far in faith. Again, we've only hit the top of it. We've talked about the power of the tongue. We've talked about seed faith. We've talked about a lot of things and working our faith and believing and pushing and on it goes. So you'll have to go back into the archives and refresh yourself with these teachings. But tonight I want you to just write down this statement, putting it all together. That's what this is called, putting it all together. And we're going to bring this thing to a close concerning faith. I think 40 series, 40 parts is pretty good, don't you think? Amen. We started what time last year? I don't even remember, sometime last year. All right. But again, we're not even at the tip of the iceberg. Putting it all together, part 40. Let's go to Luke chapter 18. I want you to see something you might not have seen before concerning Luke chapter 18. It's been preached a lot, taught a lot, but there's some nuggets in there and some dynamics that I think are very apropos, very important for today. And so let's look at this thing. Luke chapter 18, verse 1. We're going to break this down and unpack it. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to do what? Pray and not to faint. So he's talking about a parable of men, people, they should always pray and do not faint. I wrote this in my note, at all times, it is the right time to pray. You might want to write that down. At all times, it is the right time to pray. You know, most people pray when they're in panic. They pray when they're in crisis mode. And the first thing they do is break glass, pull handle, and scream, "Ah, help me." Instead of praying as you go, and as you pray as you go, come on now, you're equipped for what's coming at you. I truly believe if we'd stay more alert and more heavenly minded in prayers, that when things on earth happen, it won't shake us as bad. Because while you're in prayer and connected to God, the Holy Spirit, he could be warning you of what's up. And at the same time, he's preparing you for what's coming down the road. And then the other part is it makes you already on the line. I'm already connected. I don't have to hit redial. I never hung up. Come on now. I might have said amen to the last prayer, but I'm still on the line. And so prayer is very important. And so Jesus begins in this parable saying that men ought to always pray and not to faint. And here's what it means in the Greek, to faint. It means to be weak. It means to be weary. Watch this. It also means to be a coward. And then finally, the definition is to give up. So men should always pray and not be cowards. Not give up, not be weary. I just can't do this anymore, God. Come on, haven't you ever felt that way? You're praying, you're believing God for a miracle, you're believing for this to happen, and you're kicking dust all around. This stinks. Pastor got a breakthrough, but I didn't. Or whatever. Church, help me. You know, somebody comes in and got the greatest testimony ever. And you're just like, golly, God, you're awesome. Ah, I'm nobody. No. Men ought not to faint. Don't quit. Don't be a coward. Don't give up. Continuously press in and pray. Who said that? Jesus said that. And he's beginning this parable, and I'm going to show you something again you might not have seen before. So he's teaching us. He's saying, be in prayer because you can't pray without faith. He is talking about faith here. You cannot pray. I cannot pray without faith. I can mumble words.
Our Father with all in heaven.
I mean, you know, you can chant. But if I'm truly praying, I'm praying by faith. Why? Because I'm praying to someone I've never seen before. Think about it for a minute. That's faith. I read it in a book and I heard it from a preacher and I believe in my heart there's a heaven and a God that's sitting on his throne. But I've never seen him. But I believe by faith he's there. And they say the earth is his footstool. How big is he? Right? But you learn that as a child, he's huge. He's got the whole world in his hands. Yeah. No, I had that part. Right? He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got to be huge. He's got to be magnificent, right? So we believe that by faith. And what do? We work our faith. We declare our faith. And we pray to this mighty, magnificent God that I don't even have the words to articulate and describe. Men ought always to pray. So I never faint. Why? Because behind my prayers is my faith in that mighty, mighty God that book, the Bible says, is true and is there. You see that? And Jesus is beginning this out. So it's not, I know this is taught from a prayer point of view. Yeah, you need to pray, you need to pray. But there's more to this. The element in context is actually, in my view, speaking more so of faith. Because you can't take faith out of this. You have to add faith to this or it's just not in total context. So watch this. I want you to write this down. The subject now becomes persevering faith. Persevering faith. You need to write that down because that's what this is headed to in this parable. Persevering faith. And I'm going to tell you something. We need persevering faith. We need constant, continuous faith mingled in our giving, mingled in our prayers, mingled in our worship, mingled in our praise, mingled in our church attendance, our Bible studies, our own personal Bible studies at home, our worship sessions with God. We need to be persistent. I'll take it another step forward. We need to show up. When you wake up, show up. Show up for duty. Show up to God. Show up to heaven. Show up to his throne and say, I'm here. I'm tired, I'm weak, I'm whatever, I'm hurting, but I'm here. I want you to know I'm signing up, Lord. I'm right here every single day. And I'm not here just to have a handout. I'm here to lift my hand up. I got one hand saying, Lord, I worship you, and the other saying, Lord, I really need you. And God ain't got no problem with that. What he does, I believe, have an issue is we got both hands up saying, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. Well, Lord's like, look, I've given you so much. Can you just worship? Try one leg, you know, one something. Worship me and declare how good I am. Why? Because that builds your faith. You're praying, you're worshiping to a God you've never seen, but you believe. And you know what that does? That blesses him. Because without faith, it's impossible to please him. So if I'm pleasing him and I'm believing that word, then he's going to add unto me these things to prove himself faithful. That's how it works. Christianity is that easy. It really is. A child can walk away saying, Jesus loves me, this I know, you know, and believe it. We get into theology, we're like, did Adam have a belly button? Like, does it matter? But there's people who want to know, now was that fish a sperm whale that picked up Jonah? Was it an octopus? What was the whole big fish thing? Was it a big giant, you know, what was it? A goldfish? No, I think it was a bass. I mean, does it matter? The fish that had the gold coin in it for Peter. He paid the taxes. I don't care if it was a minnow. Right? Or a walleye for all of my northern friends up in Ohio. It doesn't make a difference, does it? No. But if I show up, I need to show up. So persevering faith, and I'm going to tell you, that's one of the keys for the end time church. Number two, or verse two, let's go there. So he's beginning the parable. He's saying, man, don't faint. So he begins it with a charge, right? saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God nor regarded man. So here it is. He's a judge, and guess what? He don't care about God and he don't care about man. Watch this principle. He's a judge, which means he has authority. Nothing goes through a judge unless the judge lets it go through. In other words, he is, the buck stops here. Remember that? He is the judge, but he doesn't care about the judge of judges. He don't care anything about God, and he doesn't care anything about man. He's the man. He's the judge. Now watch what happens here. So he represents what? You ready for this? He represents in this parable the unmovable. The unmovable. I remember being in a court session one time. I was just a witness for somebody. And I'm going to tell you something. When that, they said, arise for Honorable Stiffneck, whatever his name was, everybody rose up. When everybody sat down, you know, he sat down, you sat down. I remember him walking, he said something in the courthouse, and I mean, the guy's voice thundered. Yeah, you all know what I'm talking about. Judges have the final say, don't they? And if you say something wrong or they don't like it, bailiff, away with him. To the stocks. to the dungeon, right? Okay, so you know that's the truth. So it represents the unmovable object. It represents the problem, or it represents a person. So put that somewhere in your notes. Use this as an analogy. It represents something's unmovable. You can't move that judge. I can't walk in there to a judge's, he's in session, and say, hey, Judgy Wudgy. Hey, man. Who? Yo. Hey, Your Honor. You know? And then just disrupt everything, or say, hey, can I sit in your chair, or whatever. They say guilty. Oh, come on, Your Honor. I'm saying not guilty. You know? He makes that decision. So here is this parable. Here's the beginning thing. Jesus is now talking about something that's unmovable, something in our lives. Maybe it's a bill. Maybe it's a sickness. Maybe it's a family member not saved. Maybe it's a person that's after your tail end. Come on, help me now. Through lawsuits or whatever, something nipping at your life, it becomes unmovable to you. We all have it. We all get issues in life and things that just come right in our face, and we're like, that doesn't work. Kicking doesn't work. Crying doesn't work. Throwing money at it doesn't work. Someone help me. So watch this. It represents, and you know what? Your problem doesn't care about you. Your problem doesn't care about God. Sickness, disease, malady, malfunction, sin, the devil themselves, they don't care about God and man. When did sickness ever come upon someone and say, I really care for you, but I'm going to just destroy you? I hope you don't mind. No. The devil doesn't walk up and say, you know, today's your day. I'm going to terrorize you. This is your day. If you need anything, call me. Right? No. Your problems are there as something to destroy you, to delay you, to block you, to keep you. Whether they're from God, intentionally God's doing something to train you, or whether it's the enemy or self-inflicted or just whatever it is, it doesn't matter the mechanism, how it got there. What matters is how it gets out of your way. Because the trial is of your faith. Will you be persistent to see that thing move? And that's what Jesus is going to teach us right here in faith. We're summing this whole thing up. Is this okay? So let's check it out. So you don't care about nobody. How many of y'all got problems like that? You know, your water heater goes out. It don't care about you. You can sit there and cry 1,000 tears. It don't, oh, sorry. All right. Next verse. And there was a widow in that city. Now watch this. There was a widow in that city. First of all, she's a widow, but she has legal rights. In fact, she had specific rights as a widow. In fact, she would have more rights than you would if you were just a normal citizen at that time, because she was what? Left without husband and representation. She didn't have her head. It's like mama over in Nigeria. She didn't have a man child, therefore they wouldn't help her. And her daughters could only do so much. She was a true widow indeed, according to that society, so she was neglected. But aren't you glad a greater judge walked in and said, take care of mama. But here she is. She's in trouble. Something's happened in her life. We really don't know the total story. But something has happened to where she's in legal jeopardy. She's been wronged in some form or fashion, but she has legal rights to be vindicated. Watch. And that widow in that city, and she came unto him saying, avenge me of my adversary. Now in this whole phrase here, is she came unto him saying, it's actually a continuous action. She kept coming to him. He didn't care about God. He didn't care about man, which means he didn't care about her. He didn't care about doing what was right as a judge, so he kept pushing her back. Forget it. Forget it. Just like your problems. Just like my problems. Just like sickness, whatever. He keeps pushing back at you. You do everything you possibly can. You take medicines. You do this. You pray. You believe in God. You throw money at it. Whatever it is, and that problem stays right there. Somebody say, yes, sir. Because I'll confess all night long. That happens in my life and it happens in everybody's life. You get that wall and it just will not come down. This is this judge. So in that Greek understanding, she is going up to this guy and she's saying, avenge me. Avenge me, one, because you're the judge. Number two, because it's the law. Number three, I know my rights. I don't want to get to the punchline. But this is where Jesus is taking us, okay? So next verse. And he would not for a what? For a while. We don't know how long it was, but it seems like it was a season of time, actually. But afterward, he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man. In other words, I don't give a rip about anybody. Watch what he says next. Yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Now see the continual coming? That's why we know in two verses before, it was a continuous action. So she continuously came to him. Let me read this to you now. Watch this. Let me read this to you. She kept coming. I'll read to you in the Amplified Version. Then I'm going to give you the definition of weary. And this is just really will blow you away. Verse 5, Amplified. Yet because this widow continues to bother me. Ladies, can you say amen? Let me tell you something. There is nothing like a persistent, convinced, whether she's right or wrong, woman. If that advertisement said $5.99 and she walks in there and it's $6.99, it's $5.99 all day long. And she gonna get it for $4.99 plus two. And a coupon and a rain check and maybe a Dunkin' Donuts card. I don't know. That woman is gonna get what she wants. A man's like, well, get out of here. It's stupid. You know, for the most part, not a woman. And I say that with all love. Listen, my mom, she raised five boys, five youngins, five rebellious children. And let me tell you, mom didn't put up with anything. If she got wrong, she took care of it. Jennifer's the same way. Jennifer fights for our family. And a lot of you guys, you know what I'm talking about. We're all the same. All right? So I say that to women like, woohoo. That's why I believe in women, in ministry, and on and on. So, yet because this widow continues to bother me, I will defend and protect and avenge her, lest she, listen to this, lest she give me intolerable annoyance. Come on, ladies, you ought to be going, yeah, you know that's right. Because you guys have a little mechanism in you. Those watching, you know what I'm talking about. You have a little mechanism in you. I am just going to annoy them until I get what I want. You don't have to say it. But you've got this in thing in you. I don't know, in the garden, Eve got it. I don't know what God did. Every woman is born with this. They may act shy at first, but when you I almost said pee them off, but when you make them mad, they get to that one place. How about tee off? Will you tee them off? They get mad. That's it. You know it's the truth. I don't care what anybody says. And I think that's a great thing. I really do. I think that's a great gift that God has given to women as long as it ain't used against me. Watch this. Intolerable. I got out of that one. Intolerable annoyance and wear me out by her continual coming. Watch this. Or at the last, she come and rail on me or assault me. I'm giving you the definition. You ready for the last part? Or strangle me. Yeah. Go get 'em, baby. Let me tell you something. Anytime I'm done wrong, Jen, I need you to make a quick phone call. The bank shorted us, Flo. Come on, the bank shorted us $1.50. I'm not putting up with that. That's Rob. I pay enough interest, right? Come on, ladies. You know it's the truth. The guy's like, hey, it's $1.50. No, it's $1.50. That's my $1.50. You know, I could get a latte, or at least a half a latte. Listen to that. See, he's going to strangle me. That's literally what the Greek is saying. This, please use your imagination. You know, I love using imagination in scripture. She's up there saying, come on, you owe me. I know the law. I know my rights. Avenge me, avenge me, avenge me, avenge me. I'm going to kill you. In so many words. How many of y'all know that whenever that happens to you, don't you finally say, forget it. Yeah, take the car, take the house. That's why divorce court is always against the man. He's like, here, have it. Right? Here's my liver. Whatever you want, just get away from me, you crazy woman, you. Right? But think about that. Think how powerful that is in prayer. Thank God, there's women in the house, women that pray, women that are persistent. Anyway, I can't say enough about it. But you see this with your imagination. Now put yourself in that position. You've got this roadblock. You've got this judge. You've got this sickness. You've got this debt. You've got this disease. You've got this issue. You've got an unsaved spouse. You've got an unsaved loved one, whatever it is. And that thing is telling you, no, 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 no. What do you do? Do you do like he said in verse 1 and become a coward and give up? Uh-uh. He's teaching you to be like that woman and say, bless God, move out of my way. Bless God, I'm going to have what I'm believing for. How? Through persistent faith. Persistent faith. It's not just praying, saying the words. It's being persistent, which is your works and your faith mixed together. It's the force behind your faith is persistence. I'm not giving up. I am not giving up. I'm going to have my miracle. I am healed in Jesus' name. Well, the doctor said this. I don't care. I am healed. Now, God promised me. God promised me things. Now watch this on promises. Some promises are for now during your life and some promises are for eternity. Sometimes he tells you what they are. Sometimes you can see them clearly and you know the difference. It doesn't matter to me. He said it. I'm pushing for it. I'm going to get my promise now. Or I'm going to get my promise then. But I'm going to get it because he can't lie. And if I didn't get it on earth, I'm not going to go to heaven and say, man, God, you ain't going to give a rip. You're going to be so blessed, so healthy. You know, you're done. It's over. You're going to be like, ah. You see what I'm saying? All that stuff fades away. He will not lie to us. Now, you see that? That's pretty fearless faith, isn't it? That's incredible faith. Now you got to hit the road with this. Now the rubber hits the road, and then you have problems, and you have to face it, and you have to go back to this teaching. But this is how God wants us to be. Sounds easy. But it's there inside of us. We just got to activate it. Sometimes it's hard. Persistent faith does not accept no as an answer. You want to write that down. I wrote this in my notes. You can put it this. Maybe we'll get a t-shirt. It says, strangle your enemies with persistent faith. That's what I wrote down. What a great shirt. Something like, I'm going to strangle you on the front and on the back. It says, not you, my enemies. You know, something. All right, so she just kept going to, he said, she troubleth me, man. I can't do this. And then what does he say at the end there? She weary me. You ready for this definition? You're going to love this. The Greek word is hupopazeizo. Hupopazazo, but not, don't even ask me to try to spell that for you, but it's hupopazazo. It means, listen to this, to hit under the eye, to buffet or disable an antagonist, which is a hostile person or a pugilist. You know what a pugilist is? A professional boxer. Look at what he's saying. In Greek terms, she is wearing me out. She wants to kick, yeah, me bad. She wants to beat me up. She wants to be like a boxer would. It means to blacken the eye, to beat black and blue. That's a woman right there. Let me tell you something, why most women's purses are heavy, because they'll knock you out with it. One time my wife, Jennifer said, can you go get my purse for me? And I went there to grab it. It was like, your luggage, ma'am. What do you got in there? Oh, gun and then, no. Right? Yeah, tools, gold bullions, whatever. Man's got a wallet. That's easy, right? My wife says, the reason why my purse is so heavy is I'm all carrying your junk. You see my chainsaw? Yeah, hold on a minute. All right, watch this. Figuratively as, so he's black and blue. Figuratively as here, to tease, to annoy, into compliance, to subdue by repeated attacks, to bring or keep under, to wear me, or to wear one out, or to wear one down to helplessness. Oh my gosh, just like a woman. No wonder the big-hearted judge became willing to see that she got justice, because she was beating the bananas out of him. Funny, isn't it? But that's exactly the parable and the parallel that Jesus is trying to teach us today. That when we come against that judge that doesn't care about God and his laws and doesn't care about man and his laws, his feelings or your feelings, you have to speak to that issue persistently. Not may I please. I already tried that first day. I think she went to the judge the first day and said, Judge, your honor, I'm having this issue here and, you know, by law, blah, blah, blah. And then I think the second day, she sat home and stewed. Ladies, you know what I'm talking about? You start stewing. And then the third day, and then it was over. She's like, look, if I go to jail, at least have a place to stay and somewhere, you know, something to eat. I think she just got to that point. So let's go on. So that's pretty cool, huh? I like pulling out the Amplified because you get so much more information. All right, verse 6. And by the way, guys do this too, but women are just historically the best. All right. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. What did he say? He said, and shall not God avenge his own elect? So he said, look what the judge did. The judge said, I'm going to get beat up by this woman. But then he says, shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? So in other words, is God like that mean judge? No. God hears us. God hears us. He acts upon our prayers because he's not like that judge. He, number one, cares about his word, and then he cares about you. And he cares, watch this, about his word. Now, going back to the widow, she knew the law and she knew her rights. The flip side to us today is you need to know the word and know your rights. When you know the word and your rights, you can speak to that judge. You could speak to that wall. You could speak to that sickness, disease, whatever the malfunction is in life, whatever's keeping you from moving on to the other side of the Jordan. You have the law and you have the rights. Law meaning the word. You've got the law of liberty. You got the power of the Holy Ghost. And you have the rights to it. He's saying here, God's not like that judge. He will avenge you. Watch this. Shall not God avenge? It's almost a rhetorical question. Which cry day and night at him, though he bear long with them? Next verse. Notice that he bears long with them. In other words, God is what? Long-suffering. He's with us in our suffering. And that is just something in Christianity we don't talk about because we were talking a little bit about this in an interview with Brother Oscar in his book that he wrote about the cross. The doctrine of suffering is no longer taught. I take it another step. I take it to endurance. We don't have the capacity and the understanding to endure things because we feel that we should have prayers like that, snap out of it, and the answer's there. No, sometimes you got to go for the long haul. Is he long-suffering? Yeah, he's right there with us. Okay? But he does it his way. I tell you that he will, say he will. He will avenge. You just put that, highlight that. He will avenge. Who's he avenging? He's going to avenge his elect. Is that you? Yes, that's me. Them speedily. Now the word speedily there doesn't mean quickly. Doesn't mean right. It means within the due season. Speedily. In other words, it will happen. Again, whether it's this side of heaven or in heaven itself, he will answer that. He will. He will avenge us. He will answer the prayers. He will do everything he said in that word. He has to. He's not a liar. You see that? So when we get our faith wrapped around this and we stop getting so jello Christianity where, you know, we're just so flimsy and whatever. And if God doesn't do it the way we think he should do it and the time that he should do it, number one, we don't have faith. And number two, he's not real. We can't be jello like that. We need to be rock solid and say, I believe, I confess, I believe, I confess, I believe, and I confess. And then I'll just wait. And that's where the power of patience comes in. So when the enemy's throwing fiery darts saying, nope, you're going to die, you ain't going to make it, this, that, you say, I'm going to quench you with the shield of faith, and I'm going to believe, okay? What if I go to heaven? See you. Take care. Yep, make sure you let my dog out when you get there, or whatever. All right. Right, I mean, what are you going to do? You're just going to quit? Don't give up. Men should always pray, never give up. All right, watch this. I got to go. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Now, here's again, this is the whole context of what he's teaching. I believe he's teaching from an end time principle. He's literally talking to the end time church. Though the principles are as powerful throughout the centuries from whence it was written, of course. But I believe he's speaking in context to a specific generation. Why is that? Watch this. Because as times get tougher and times get harder, we're going to have more of those judges in our lives. We're going to have more roadblocks, more economic troubles. We're going to have famines. We're going to have pestilence. We're going to have wars. We're going to have everything that seems immovable in our lives. And he's saying, when I come back, so when is this? This is a prophetic thing, right? So he's talking end times. He wasn't coming back then. He was coming back at a certain time. In our lifetime, I believe. So he was illustrating to us through this that there was going to be things that are unmovable, incredible things. But am I going to find people with faith to believe? Because remember, the last day's church is divided, if you will, into the harlot church, pagan church, and the remnant. Those that are apostate and those who believe. Jesus is saying when these hard times come and that church is split, will those that serve me, will they have faith? Will they be persistent in their faith? Because I'm going to tell you something. This, what's coming upon the face of the earth, we must be persistent in our relationship with God. We can't be wishy-washy. We can't be, oh, I think I'm gathered here. No, I think I'm staying. Oh, I think we're gone. No, I think we're staying. Oh, God's not going to allow it to happen here. Oh, God is going to let it happen. We have to say, look, I believe the word. I see what's happening. I have faith in him. He's going to carry me through. He that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. So I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Will he find faith? You have to answer that. I can't answer that for you, but I can tell you for me, yes, you will find faith, Lord. So how do I know that? Because he's testing us now, and he's training us for that moment. In conclusion, the widow woman knew who she was, her rights under the law, and she knew she could break down that judge, and she did. Watch this. Like her, we must know who we are in Christ. We must know our rights under the word, being persistent in our faith, because we know the Father hears us and will answer us speedily. That is what Jesus will be looking for in the last days. Do we have faith? Do we believe God when all hell is busted loose around us and it seems impossible? Will we have faith? I believe you will. I believe you will, in Jesus' name. Well, I hope you've enjoyed this teaching. I hope it's been a blessing to you on faith. I'm looking forward to the next season of what God's going to have us dive into and learn. But the just shall live by faith, and we're going to do that. Father, thank you so much for this opportunity. By no means have we completed the entire journey of faith and teaching, but I know that as we move along, we're going to learn even more about this dynamic power that you've given us, faith. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Guys, I'll see you Sunday. Be blessed.